Top Marks for Murder by Robin Stevens, read by Katie Long. Part 1. What Beanie Saw. Chapter 1. I'm writing in this new casebook because death has come to Deepdene once again. I am not quite sure why I am so surprised, but I am. Perhaps it is because lightning in this case being dead bodies, is not meant to strike twice, let alone several times, in the same place. Perhaps it is because the murder has happened at a time when we all have been ordered to be on our best behaviour, in starched and pressed dresses, as good and polite and law-abiding as schoolgirls can be. And, although in the world outside I had begun to feel quite grown up and bold, it is funny how easy it was to fall back into school life once we returned to Deepdene. Over the last 2 days, it has almost been an effort to behave like a detective again, rather than just a schoolgirl, and I can see that Daisy has struggled with that as well, although she knows even more than I do that this weekend we must detect. This case matters terribly, and if we do not solve it, the consequences will be dreadful. We may even lose Deepdene, the home we all share. Of course, Deepdene has been in danger before, and we have always saved it. But now I really do worry that this mystery may be too much for the school. How can it stay open, now that it is the location of a third crime? And what will Daisy and I do if it does not? This case has twisted itself into the most confusing thread Daisy and I have ever had to unravel. I feel as though anything might happen next. While these thoughts are whirling about in my head, and while the answer to the mystery dances frustratingly out of my reach, I shall try to explain how everything happened and how this case began when our friend Beanie told us that she had seen a murder. Chapter 2. I ought to say what has happened since our last murder investigation in London, which was really only 2 months ago, although it seems longer. I thought it might feel odd to be back at Deepdene after all the wild and grown-up adventuring we had done this year. But instead, I feel as though we never left. Not really. Daisy and I are Deepdene schoolgirls, and, no matter where we go, this school is in our blood and bones, the one constant place in all the wandering we do. I had barely finished writing up the story of the murder at the Rue Theatre, and everything that happened with George and Alexander and Uncle Felix and Aunt Lucy and Bridget, when it was time to wave goodbye to them all and rush through the smoke of Paddington Station to catch the Deepdene train. A car met us at Deepdene Station, and when it pulled up outside house on the afternoon of Sunday the 31st of May, everywhere else in the world vanished like a dream. It could not possibly be true that just the week before we had been actresses solving a terrible crime. As Daisy and I stepped through the front door into the dingy entrance hall, I knew that this was the only reality. The big clock and the dinner gong and the chipped, ugly staircase going up to the dorm rooms, every mark and dent and rip in the wallpaper familiar.
"Good old Deepdene," said Daisy grandly, staring about at it. "Home at last."
I stood next to Daisy and felt both too big and too small, delighted and bewildered all at once. And then I heard a chorus of shrieks, and Kitty, Beanie and Lavinia, our dorm mates, friends and fellow Detective Society members, came rattling down the staircase and flung themselves on us. After that, all I felt was overjoyed.
"Hazel, Daisy, you're back," Beanie shouted in our ears, and then we were squeezed in an enormous six-armed hug. They smelled of soap and pencils, Beanie, and grass, Lavinia, and perfume, Kitty, contraband, and I breathed in happily.
"We missed you, we missed you, we missed you," Beanie shrieked, jumping up and down and jostling the rest of us. "We've been watching from upstairs, waiting for you to arrive."
"It's not been much fun without you," agreed Lavinia. She said it grudgingly, but Kitty pinched her and she blushed, so I could see she meant it.
"Oh, there's so much to tell you," cried Kitty. "Come upstairs. Come on, come on."
Matron came out of her office and glared at us in a welcome back way as we left our bags for the maids and rushed up the stairs to our familiar dorm. Except,
"We moved the beds round while you were gone," explained Kitty. "It's fearfully cold." Sample complete. Ready to continue?